family. My name is Diane, and I'm my daddy.
Hi, Diane.
Woo, thank God I'm clean today. I'm like nervous and wow. You know, I had prayed to God, and I was like, God, you know, I kind of like want to step up my recovery and start sharing, you know, more openly at open meetings. And wow, he really answered my prayer, you know. My topic is service at home, too, you know. And when I got here, it really wasn't about doing no service. You know, I was very self-centered. I was real quiet, you know. And part of my story is, you know, as a young girl coming up, you know, I come from a family of four. I had two brothers, my moms, you know, and my mother was a good mother, you know. She taught us how to ride bikes. She taught us how to swim. She was in college. You know, we lived in a nice little neighborhood, and I always felt like something was wrong with me, you know. I kind of like went from a baby to the bottle, you know. My first choice of drug was alcohol, you know. And I can remember I was like getting ready to go into the seventh grade, and they had got a bottle of Wild Irish Rose, and I got sick. I drank the Wild Irish Rose, and I couldn't have been no older than like 11 or 12 years old. And I was off to the races, you know. And by the time I was 14, my grandmother lived in Coney Island. And going to Coney Island is like, it was a whole stroll when you got off the train, you know. And I would get on the bus, and that's when the Mac was out and Foxy Brown and all that stuff, you know. And a lot of times, you know, my mom, she did the best that she can. I know that today, you know, but she wasn't very nurturing. She took care of me, but she wasn't very nurturing as far as a period and all that stuff. My mother didn't talk about those things. In my house, you know, it was like what's going on in my house stays in my house, you know. And children was to be seen and not heard, you know. So I really grew up not saying nothing. I didn't have no opinion, you know, and my brothers was using, you know, and that alcohol just took me to other places. You know, I started smoking weed, and, you know, it just progressed. You know, and like I said, I would go to my grandmother's house, and I would watch these girls out there, you know, and I got real curious, you know, and at the time, it reminds me of that record, you know, Lost and Turned Out on my way to my grandmother's house, you know, and eventually I went out there, you know, and I started selling my body, and I was a young girl, you know, and at this time, my mother had started drinking, and her addiction took off, you know, and we wound up having to move, you know, and my mom's always talked about never wanting to live in the projects, you know, and we wound up moving to the projects, and all hell broke loose, you know. My mother's addiction took off, mine's took off, you know. I found myself homeless, you know. And I wound up going to Job Corps, you know. And I went to Job Corps in Cleveland, Ohio, and I tried to do a little something out there and get me a little trade, and that didn't work out. And I remember the last day leaving, you know, and I was smoking some weed with this guy, and he took me way out in the boondocks, and he raped me, you know. And at that point, you know, in my life, you know, they just sent me on an airplane, sent me home, and I never even talked about it. I just left it as it was, you know. And lo and behold, my addiction just kept on going, you know. And by the time I got to Narcotics Anonymous, y'all, I was spiritually whipped, you know. I was broken, you know. Wasn't no sunshine, and I don't care how sunny it was outside. It was always a cloud over my head, you know. When I got here, I had been shot, I had been raped, you know, and I never talked about it, you know. And I came here to this wonderful fellowship, you know, and I remember my brother telling me about the fellowship. And we were sitting across the table, and I smoked crack. I smoked crack, I smoked dust, you know. I just was going at it, you know. Mad Dog 2020, Cisco, anything that took me, knocked me out, you know. And it was a long journey, you know. They say it's harder to get here than it is to stay here, you know. So definitely, newcomer, if you're here, stay. stay, you know. And I got here, and during that whole process, you know, I had a daughter. I had a baby, you know. And I was stay. I had found my mother, you know. She was still in her addiction. I was in mine, you know. And I had this daughter. And at the time, you know, I was like, well, let me have a baby, because I felt like I just wanted something to say this was mine. It wasn't even about it was another human being. It was about this is mine, you know. And I proceeded to have this little girl, you know, and I was so self-centered at the time, you know, with this guy that I had my daughter with. It was like right after I came from the doctor and the doctor told me I was pregnant, I like left him immediately. Like, your job is done, your service is finished, you know, I'm out, you know. And I proceeded to have this little girl, you know, and used all my whole 9 months with this little girl, you know. And I had the baby, I took her to my mother's house, and she was like, listen, you gotta go. You gotta go, and this baby gotta stay. And I was like, no, I'm taking her with me, you know. And lo and behold, I know today that it was only the God of my understanding that was out there carrying me then, you know. So I wound up getting an apartment and in Brooklyn, and I took my daughter with me. This was in the projects, and I just continued to use. You know, I was smoking crack. My daughter was like 2 years old. I was taking her to the spot with me to the spot, you know, and I would have her across the street and tell her, stand here, don't move, you know, and proceed to go cop and then come out, you know. And I was in a lot of denial, you know, because I remember them raiding the spot, and I had on this little candy apple red and white pinstripe dress, and they raided the spot, and you know, they was like, well, what are you doing in here? And they let me go, you know. And it only proceeded to tell me that nothing was wrong with me, you know. And it's so weird, because today, you know, when I think about, you know, the people and the places I had left my daughter at, you know, it becomes overwhelming, you know. And thank God I'm clean today. Thank God I'm clean today, you know. And like I was telling y'all, you know, I was home one day and I was using, and like I said, I had got shot, you know. And even when I got shot, they was taking too long in the hospital, and I got up and I left with the bullet in me, you know. And I kept using, and what happened, a bullet tore into my artery. And when I went to stand up, I would just collapse, you know. And I wound up going to the hospital, and I had some surgery, and they said at that point they couldn't take the bullet out because it was moving around, you know, and they just fixed my artery. And I had wound up getting a job, you know. And a lot of my story, like I said, it was like a lot of lies, manipulation, a lot of sex, you know. And my brother came home from the military, and he was going with the secretary downstairs, you know, at the management office. And the young lady asked me, well, could you work for me, you know, for a day, you know, and I'll pay you. And I was like, sure, you know. I lived right upstairs, you know. And I went downstairs, and lo and behold, you know, I went down there and slept with the manager, and it was my job. Then I received a job, you know. And I proceeded to work, you know, at this management office for a couple of years. And my daughter, you know, I was still using. My daughter was like really getting in the way of my using. And I remember one time she was like, mommy, I'm hungry. And in my house, it was oodles and noodles and Franks. That's what was going on, you know. And I proceeded to give her these oodles and noodles. And I mean, it was scalding hot, you know. And I gave her the oodles and noodles, and she flipped it over some kind of way, and she had got second and third degree burns, you know. And I can remember her hollering, and I just went and I wiped her off and put her back in the room and proceeded to use, you know. And that's where my addiction had taken me. Like, it wasn't about nobody but me, you know. It was about nobody but me, you know. And I wound up sending my daughter to a fresh air fund, and she went away. And while she went away, my brother had came into the, he had went into a program, you know, and it was time to go visit him. And my mom's was going, I was supposed to go, you know, and it was on a Thursday, you know, and housing got paid on Thursday. And I had already used, and my mom's had came, and she was like, listen, I talked to your brother, and he was like, you can't come. And I was like, why? Me and my brother are very close. And she was like, because he said something about you or people, places, and things. You know, and at the time I didn't know what that was, you know, but that same day I had got a letter in the mail, you know, and he had a meeting list and he had highlighted some meetings, you know, and I proceeded to go to this meeting, you know, but before I got there, I took my stem and my lighter and I threw it away, you know, because I was like, I don't know if these people going to check me or what, you know, and I proceeded to go to the meeting, you know, and when I got to the meeting, you know, y'all welcomed me and suggested the next time I come back to see if I could come back clean, you know, and I went back the next day, you know, and they said make 90 meetings in 90 days and give yourself a break and alcohol is a drug and where you stop at, if you want to go back, that's where your addiction is going to take off, like you never stopped at all. You know, and I was in a lot of denial. I was like, well, I got a job, I got an apartment, and in between that mix, I had married a man, you know. This man had came out of jail, and he was like, he wanted to make amends to women, and he wanted to save me, you know, and I was like, I was all for it, you know, because I was lonely. I was very lonely, you know, and I continued to make meetings, you know, and I wouldn't talk to nobody, you know, but people knew who I was, but I didn't say too much, you know, and around Christmas of that year, you know, they talked about alcohol was a drug, you know, and I went to a Christmas party and I picked up some alcohol and I had like 6 months clean. And once I had like two drinks, I was off to the races, and it took me like almost a year to get back. And when they said my pain will be refunded, it was overwhelming. I'm talking about the basic text talk about spiritually broken. I was broke by the time I got here. I mean, my spirit was broken. And my daughter came back. She had came back from camp, and I was in the office. I was like a secretary, and I was like the first person you saw when you came in, you know, and I was there crying. And at that point, all I was doing was using. I was just going through the motions. The most feeling I got was going to cop. That was it, you know, and I can remember sitting back before I even went and used and say, why do you want to use when you know you're going to get paranoid? You know, it just didn't make no sense, but the obsession and the compulsion just had me by the throat, like, you gonna use, you know. And I was crying, and my daughter came in, and she was like, Mommy, why don't you go away? You know, I went to camp, I had fun, and, you know, and I proceeded to open the Yellow Pages, and I called some detox, you know, and I went to this detox. It was supposed to be for 28 days, you know, and I'm in this detox. They brought the message up there, you know, and I went in like on the 8th, and I slept for like 2 days, and I woke up on the 10th, and I cried, and I cried, and I cried, and I was like, I don't have to do this no more. You know, I knew it was a better way. You know, the seed was planted, you know, it was no more denial, you know, I knew, you know, at this point, listen, I'm an addict, you know, even though I knew it was a long way, you know, before, because I had only got the first part of the first step, like, I was an addict, you know, that second part of my life being unmanageable took a while for me to grasp onto, you know, however I came out, you know, and I got me a sponsor, you know, and my sponsor was into the step work, you know, she was into service, and I got into service, you know, and I was clean and I was crazy, You know, I can remember my mother was like, okay, you going to the meetings, but your behavior is horrible. You know, and when I got clean, immediately shame, guilt, depression, all of that came over me. You know, I felt like I had been using all my life. I went from like a baby, it wasn't no teen years or nothing. It was just a horror story. You know, so when I got clean and stuff, I was like, who am I? You know, and, okay. So, I'm gonna speed this up. You know, so like I said, I got clean, you know, my behavior hadn't changed, you know, I'm with this man, and lo and behold, when I met him, he wasn't using, you know, I was using. As soon as I got clean, he started using, you know, and y'all said we could carry the message, but we couldn't carry the addict, you know, and this brother was using, he was stealing, you know, he was robbing our house. And I was going to the meetings, you know, and I really wasn't talking about it too much. I was talking about it with my network, you know, and they was telling me, Diane, you know, you just keep doing what you're doing, you know. Things around you may not get better, but you'll get better. Just keep coming, you know. And that's what I proceeded to do, you know. And the brother came with me to a meeting. On a Friday. It was on a Friday. He made a meeting with me, you know, and when we left the meeting, I went home and he went and used and they found him dead a few feet from my door, you know, and I remember the lady telling me, go in his pocket and take his stuff out because he was in a snoring state. He had been stabbed. And I went in his pocket and he had the stem and a lighter in one pocket and a coin with the serenity prayer in the other, you know, and I would like to say that I came in here and I was booming with the fellowship, you know, and that's not my story, you know. I suffered a lot in this process, you know. Actually, these last four years have been the best years of my life, you know. And situations have been going on, you know, but I don't know. I wasn't grasping on to the steps, you know. It just wasn't working for me. At the time, you know, I was in a lot of denial and my sponsor had passed away and just a lot of stuff was going on. And then, you know, when the pain outweighed the pleasure, then I started making some changes, you know. I started trying and having some faith and saying, let me try something different. You know, so I started going home and I started trying to do mother and daughter day, you know, because I remember my daughter trying to hold my hand, you know, and I would hold it for a moment and then kind of like drop it, you know, because I didn't have no connection. Wasn't no hugging going on in my house, you know, and I came in here and y'all started telling me, take that service home. Take that service home, you know, and my mother was a woman that when I came in here, I didn't like her. You know, I blamed everything on her. It was always my mother's fault, and it was definitely the man's fault. You know, and the literature has taught me that it begins and it ends with me. You know, and now today, you know, my life has gotten much better. You know, only because I applied my service, not only in here, not only with y'all, but I take it to work with me. You know, I'm always, you know, willing to do service, you know, not looking for nothing back because I'm grateful. You know, God, you know, I came in here, I didn't know too much about God, but y'all told me to get a power greater than myself, and that's what I proceeded to do. And the woman that told me a little bit about God, she asked me, did I know what a mustard seed was? And I told her no, and she asked me, did I have that much faith? That a mustard seed is like a little seed of like a matchbook. And I told her yes. And she said that seed would grow into a big tree and branches, you know. And it's only through this fellowship and y'all wonderful people, you know. And the God of my understanding that now I take my service on the road, you know. Because you never know what somebody going through. You know, I'm always open to help the newcomer. No, I may not share that much from the floor, but I know I feel my place in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm always there to give somebody a warm hug, you know, and say welcome and keep coming back because this program definitely works, you know. And it's my time is up, y'all. Thanks for letting me share.
Let's thank Diane G for sharing. Our next speaker is Gary M. from Washington, D.C. He's a power of example in Washington, D.C. He'll be sharing on living in the solution.
Hey, group, I'm Gary Daphne Addict. And I must report that God is good all the time. You know, we're going to do a lot of things in this room today, right? You know, you're going to hear a little something. You're going to see a little something. You know, we're going to cry a little bit. We're going to laugh a little bit, you know what I'm saying? You gon' hear me.
They hear your name.
They gon' hear me anyway.
Get it back.
You understand? So I'm trying to tell you right now, all kinds of things. It's gonna happen in here, right? You know, I got here just like anybody else did. You know, getting high stopped being fun. Yeah, it used to be real fun when the weed was called herb. And it used to be like herb and Chico sticks. And then it, you know, turned into like hemp and Boston baked beans. Lumbo and Starburst. Right? And you know, I was high, right? So I ain't never noticed the change. You know what I'm saying? Shit just kept on changing, right? You know. The Lumbo turned into some stuff called dust. The dust turned into some stuff called love boat. I started taking trips that you don't even have to buy tickets for. And the love boat turned into some stuff called crack. And I started smoking like crack off a Hawaiian punch can in 90 degree weather. And you know, ants be coming out the can, right? You know, I ain't been here yet. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know nothing about compulsion. I don't know nothing about no obsession. You know what I'm saying? I sure enough don't have no disease. Cause when I go to the bathroom, don't nothing come out my little thing, right? Yeah, okay, don't be looking at me funny. That's the only reason, the only definition that I had for a disease. Yeah. So I sure enough ain't got no Z's. Yeah. You know, it's a lot of people, you know, they might be in here talking about, he just up here because Michelle M., Michelle D. on the programming. I posed to be up here. She posed to ask me this shit. She know I got a story. And I've been telling it for like going on 19 years. And like straight. Like in a row. You know what I mean? So don't even think about like why I'm up here. Cause I'm up here. Yeah. And don't be mad at me cause I know somebody that was in an area to make a move. To get me up here. And I say that right because, see, it wasn't always living in the solution. See, I'm saying I told you how I got here. So, see, I'm the type of addict. I started at the bottom and I stayed at the bottom. I ain't never lose no jobs, no cars, no apartments. I ain't never pawned nothing because I ain't never had nothing. I never had no shoebox of money. I don't know what a triple scale bean look like. I only had two working halves at one time. I ain't never worked nowhere but Roy Rogers because they get paid every week. And what I'm trying to tell you is this was the only place for me. So when I got here and y'all had on big gold chains and cute shirts and nice jewelry and where I came from, Buckingham ain't wear no good stuff in the crack house. And so as I kept coming and I kept coming and I accidentally ran into this place called the Nighttime is the Right Time. Over on East Capitol Street in Northeast D.C. And the meeting started at 10:30 at night and it was too late at night to be bulljiving. Right? And I met people like Darlene, and I met people like Sheila with a bath claw, and I met my baby Jamie, and I ain't know what I was doing. All I know is they didn't send me to the store, and at 12 o'clock they will hug me and tell me, "You coming back tomorrow?" I've been sick and tired of being tired. Look, I would get so sick that I would get tired. Then I'd be so tired that I'd get sick. Then I'd be sick and then I'd be tired. And then I'd be sick and tired at the same time. And then I'd get tired. And then I'd get sick. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to tell you, right, I was kind of like messed up, right? And the literature say that the only way that you can become a member in here, you got to be messed up. You kind of like almost and got to be tardy. I ain't say retarded for all you intellectuals. I said tarded. And tarded mean ain't nothing wrong with you. You just got a great idea that you think you need to do whatever you want to do at the time to do it and don't care about who's hurt, why they hurt, and why didn't they not move when I was hurting them. Yeah. So that's what tarded mean. You don't need no medication. You understand what I'm saying? All you just need is to just shut up, sit down, and allow somebody to show you that you're working on retardation. And if you don't think that you kind of tarded, then this ain't gonna work for you. You can buy every tape in here, but you gotta accept that you kinda tardy. And if you think you ain't tardy, just check back how you used to go to work for 2 weeks and just smoke up your whole chair. Normal people don't do that. You work for a whole year and get your income tax check and keep sending me the cop for you. And your whole year of pay is gone in about 2-3 hours. That's kind of tardy. And if you wanted them in here, tell them, if you had shoeboxes of money, and you know how to work a triple scale bean, you really taught him. So now that you kind of like said to yourself and you won't let nobody know, I'm tired. Because I remember when I got buttered ass naked. And I was no clothes on. In the freezing rain on Benning Road. And I was directing traffic on a Sunday morning. It was so cold outside. The rain was freezing before it hit the ground, and I thought somebody was throwing change at me. Cause I might have been out there doing like this or something. I was riding down Benning Road about 3 weeks ago, and I stopped the car. And I had to look over there and see if I was still over there. Because y'all told me that it don't go nowhere. Yeah, okay, you see, you're tired of that. You did that shit last week in New York. Rolled down the street, see if they still hustling over there. They over there. And you instantly said, no, it's pain over there. So, butterball. Only by the grace of God, they gave me a little bit too much time than they supposed to gave me, because the psychiatrist was asking me, say, who the president was. And I messed around and bought myself a few minutes, right? And I told, I know, can't talk, loaded. Cause see, when I smoke, I can't talk. I be wanting to say something real bad, and I be like, duh, duh. Duh, duh, duh. I swear to goodness, I want to say something real bad, right? And then, and the man messed around and got stuck with me. And I messed around and found out who the president was. But he kind of like tried to get slick and wait a few minutes and come back and ask me who the president was. And I keep hearing all day long about the biggest crazy house on the East Coast. I was 6, 7, 8 minutes away from being a resident at St. Elizabeth. And then the doctor told me, I caught myself telling him off. I know what you try to do. I want to talk loud so it might come out better. You try check and see if I'm crazy. I just smoke syllable. It do you like that? And the doctor told me, he said, no, you not crazy. Taking your clothes off, as cold as it is, outside in the freezing rain, you ain't crazy. I'm crazy for asking you something like that. And he started pointing at all the degrees and masters and stuff that he had. He was like, in 67, I was gone. And they gave me that. It's a master's, but it's a master's for crazy, you know, crazy, right? And when the man finished, I was sitting there talking about, oh my God, I'm crazy as shit. So I'm talking about, now that I think I'm crazy, right? Now I know. See, now I know I'm crazy, and then I messed around and made a reservation with God. I told him if I ever take my clothes off, that's when I'm gonna stop. I'm quitting. It's over. If I ever take my clothes off, I'm finished. And that's when I found out that I was an addict. That's when I found out I couldn't say, nah, that's all right. I don't want to hit it. You understand? That's when I found out that I might have been kind of like owing it. And I always, see, I smoke crack out of a can because I ain't want to feel and look like I was on it the way them was that had stems. I ain't know nothing about saving no money and getting my money worth and all that. I'm just trying to die in a hurry. So just let me go. That's all I want to do. You know what I'm saying? I ain't got time to do no whole lot to it. Oh, man. That's some real talk shit, dude. Oh, okay. I'm just saying. Let me pull myself together. You know, living in a solution, right? I got a lot of people call me, talk to me, ask me to do things. Guy. I got these two damn daughters, right? They hurt me so bad for the last 2 weeks, right? That oldest one, think her ass grown. Now I slap slob out of her mouth. I swear to God I will. She told me about 2 weeks ago, because I got a 20-year-old, she won't do nothing right. Everything she starts, she won't finish. She got a 20-year-old, I got a 4-month-old grandbaby. They were telling my daddy, you act like you ain't excited. You act like you ain't glad that the girl got a baby. I told her, I dare you to play with me like that. I said, I told you for a long ass time, if you lay down and have unsafe sex, you're gonna get up with a lifetime problem. It's just by the grace of God, yours is BAB and not HIV. So why the hell I supposed to jump around, break dance, and buy all kinds of diaper bags and all that old bullshit when I gotta keep coming to these meetings? I gotta make sure I be ready when she gotta go to the goddamn nursery school. I gotta take her to the goddamn PTA meet because you acting kind of motherfucking tardy, and all you NA niggas tell me it's my responsibility to make sure that the baby all right. Now she want to make sure she could just keep this little bum in her life, you know what I'm saying? And I told her, I said, but he a bum. He's a bum. You understand what I'm saying? And no, they didn't. They tried to come back and tell me my story. And my oldest daughter told me, said, but daddy, you was a bum. And I told her, baby, you was so right. But whoever got that idea, come up with that kind of decision to think that I'm a bum today, they can kiss my fat, happy ass. And it could start with you. Because, you know, living in a solution, see, if I wasn't in a solution, I'd be smoking crack. Because I like smoking crack. I work 2 8-hour jobs. You know what I'm saying? People talking about look, I don't have no college degree. I don't have this. I don't have that. All y'all tell me to do is keep it moving. You know what I'm saying? Keep it doing. Them little boys, they look forward for me to wake them up in the morning. I don't have no problem. Up, get out of my house. And they ain't need my house. They be, go ahead, Mr. Mill. Go ahead, Mr. Mill. Come on, Mr. Mill. Hey, Mr. Mill. Go ahead, Mr. Mill. So I think I'm part of the solution. You know, I got this little small seed, right? I love him so much. Oh my goodness. I love him so much. He shared today. I cried. Oh, I cried. Crocodile tears. I swear to goodness. I cried so much. I was so proud of him, but I was so hurt. I was so hurt. Because his brother couldn't see him. And I know he wanted to see him so bad. And I feel like I owed this brother something because he think he taught me how to get some money. He think he taught me how to never be broke no more. But he turned me on to this program called Knockouts and all. You know what I'm saying? Oh my goodness. Look. You play with this shit if you wanna. It's not a game. If I wasn't living in the solution, I'd be part of the problem. I like court dates, misdemeanors. You understand what I'm saying? I do all that kind of crazy shit, you know what I'm saying? I break out. I be all like this head shit when I use. You know what I'm saying? I be 200 pounds lighter. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about if you ain't in a solution, you in the problem. You understand what I'm saying? See, I'm telling y'all, I don't have nothing. I tried the solution shit real good. I don't sell anything no more. Everybody look at me. I had so much fun at this convention today, this weekend. I didn't have a camera. I didn't have a cigarette. I'ma sell you something. And these people told me to try the solution. Wait on God. Huh? I don't have no money. I heard a guy share just a few minutes ago that he got this fear of being broke. I don't know what I'ma do. You understand what I'm saying? But all I know is, long as I stay here, I got a shot. Long as I just stay here, that girl gonna get herself together. I told myself I wasn't gonna speak to the old one for about 2, 3, 4, 5 years. I hope she call me tomorrow.
All right. Let's thank Gary for sharing. At this time, I want to introduce the next speaker, Paulo C. from Long Island, New York. Come on. Sharing on why me, why not me.
Yeah, name is Paulo, I'm an addict. It's only through God's grace and infinite mercy that I'm here, right, in this wonderful fellowship. Right? Before I go on, I just want to say, like, Ray, right? This is what we do. This is what we do. Ray is counting days, right?
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
This is what we do. Strap in because you're in for the ride of your life, right? Try to identify and not compare. The worst story that you're going to ever hear in Narcotics Anonymous is going to be your story. Because those who fail to remember are doomed to repeat. So they gave me, why me, why not me? And I'm just here to share my experience, strength, and hope on this topic. You know, it's humor, they had humor, you know, I want to thank y'all. But they wasn't shit humorous when I was used. Not only that, this disease would talk to you in your own voice and you would believe it. I'm talking about an active addiction. My life was pledged by why me? Right? Say, honesty is the antidote to my disease thinking. The only life that I might save tonight might be my own. But I'm talking about always caught up in why me. Why did I have to come to Narcotics Anonymous in 1985 by a man named Goat that was 15 years old? Why I had to come and be around y'all sick motherfuckers? I'm 15 years old. I'm only smoking Chiba Chiba and Coke 45. But something happened. Something happened. I didn't. I started to hear things in the rooms that I couldn't, it wasn't going to be me. And what happened was I heard the message and I skated out. But my life was consumed by wild meat. Why did my father love me so much? He was like a sergeant major in the military, like he was an honest man. Why would my father like come into bed and sleep with me at night? Like, why would he do that? Why would I like, look, I'm gonna get to the second part, but I need to tell you how my life was consumed by why me, and I had to find something, the illusion that I thought drugs and alcohol was gonna take away the pain that I was feeling inside. I couldn't tell my moms, I couldn't tell nobody in Hunts Point and Garrison Avenue that my father was like sticking his dick in my ass. Listen, look, it might not be your story, but it's mine. They call me to sit on this shit. Like, why? Why do I feel so low inside? Like, here's some stuff came in my life. Like, why did my mama never sit with me and, like, read books with me? And, like, I had to be in a class with, like, five motherfuckers and two teachers. Why did I have to be in special ed? Why did people have to make fun of me all my life? Why did I, why did I fall in love with, like, my daughter's mom at the age of 16? You know, like, she had these pretty pigtails in her hair, and she was, like, sitting in front of my next-door neighbor. And, like, you know, I was one of them guys that, look, couldn't hang out. You know, mommy had me on the stoop. The only time that I got off the stoop was when the motherfucking Mr. Softy truck came by. Like, you know, I was happy to get a dollar so I could get off the stoop. And she gave me the information, like, you know, listen, I ain't standing up here for self-pity. I'm talking about why me. I fell in love with her. Oh, I thought I did. And she told me she was, like, had some stuff in her life. And I said, fuck it. And, you know, look, I like you. You know, I like when your mother put them little big lotion and pigtails in your hair. And I slept with her. And she was living with the virus. And I thought we was going to have a life together. And my daughter was born, Shay Shay. You know, my wife is here. I'm honored. A lot of people are here to support me. Not me, Narcotics Anonymous. But like, see, look, my daughter was born. Listen, I didn't know that I had what I was living with. My daughter was born in the Bronx, Lebanon Hospital. You know what I mean? And the doctor called me in there and said to me, we need to talk to you. I don't know if you know, like, you know, being so young and, like, look, and they tell you, like, you know, you need to take it easy, but, you live with the virus. You know what it is to be, like, 17 years old and somebody tell you that you AIDS infected. Why me, man? Why did she change her fucking mind, man? So I kept going on the road to self-destruction. I'm talking about, look, I'm not going to get caught up in the whole why me shit. But why a lot of previous in my life? Why did in 95, I had a son. You know, his name was Isaiah. You know what I'm saying? He couldn't build up his own immune system. You know what I'm saying? And he died. Why? Why, God, why you did that to me? that 6 months later, his mama died. Why? 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 Like, why I can't find me? Why do I, like, suffer from an identity crisis? I didn't know. Look. Why? Why do I like, you know what I'm saying? Why do I like women and why do I like men? What the fuck is wrong with me? I didn't know that I had a disease that affected me spiritually, mentally, physically, but also would decay your ass mentally. Then I found Narcotics Anonymous. I surrendered to the high cost of low living. August 3rd, 2004, I surrendered to the high cost of low living. And a lot of times I came in the rooms when I was new. Why me? Why me? And you know, y'all got your old timers in here, you know, to say, why not you? So I came here, I got a sponsor, and I started to accept something in my life. I started to like look, I knew about outer unmanageability, I knew about going to jail, I knew about sleeping on a number 6 train, I knew about a whole lot of things, I knew about prostituting. Listen, there ain't only women that go out there and prostitute for a push promise in the pool. I was motherfucker on the whole stroke. And I always said, well, why me? Well, motherfucker, if you wouldn't have smoked some crack, you wouldn't have did no promiscuous shit. So I got here and I found a sponsor and I felt comfortable with that sponsor. And I started to reveal some things. So the second part, why not me? Thank God for some NA literature that says, in recovery, we find it essential to accept reality. Once we do this, we don't need to find it necessary to use drugs to change our perspective about life, right? Right? It says drugs used to baffle us from the force of life. When we stop using drugs and enter recovery, we find it comfortable, right, to like find who we are. We experience disappointment, frustration, anger. Events may not happen the way we want them, but the self-centered we discard in our addiction, right, has perspective in our reality of life. Listen, man, everything had to happen for a reason. I had to go through sucking on something to get something. I had to like come in here and tell people that I live with the virus. I had to come in here and reveal who I really was. It was a lot of fear coming in here and revealing to y'all my life. People say, don't you got a sponsor? Yeah, I got one. But imagine, Ray, if everybody was to keep their secrets in here, nobody else would recover in this motherfucker. And I'm honored to that whole section over here in Long Island. It ain't about shout outs, but they loved me when I couldn't love myself. When I came to the meeting and talked about the stuff that I did, because I no longer wanted to get caught up in the why me. I wanted to get out that box and enjoy life with or without drugs. So I did what I had to do. You know, I had, look. Woo, it's hot as a motherfucker in here. How much? 3 minutes. Listen, even in, all right, 3 minutes. Even in recovery, with time clean, you can still get caught up in why me. Because, you know, we could talk, Polo, you could talk about a whole lot of things. You could talk about you got 11 steps in your life. You could talk about out. Yeah, with or without money and with or without a partner. You know what I'm saying? I can live with dignity and this, this, and that. But when shit really show up, can you really stand for what you believe in? What about when I had like some time clean? Listen, some people know my son Octavius, right? He wasn't born with the virus. My wife don't have the virus, right? Check it out, check it, right? And I'm happy for that, right? But what about when you clean and your wife comes to you and says, Polo, I see what Narcotics Anonymous is doing in our lives, not your life, our lives. I know I can't have no more kids from you, Polo, but like, you know, look, look, I can't, but we can. And she had faith that we could have another child, but I was so caught up in the why me shit. What do I deserve this gift for? So I'm gonna bring it home. I deserve why me. Yeah, I deserve what the fuck I get here. Because a lot of recovering addicts want to reap the benefits without the hard labor. I put some work into this, but she had that mustard seed that I didn't have. And I'm not ashamed to share this. Yeah, I live with 100 T-cells. I've been living with the virus for 24 years. I live with Hep C. I live with 4 STDs. You want to know, I'll tell you after the meeting. You know what I mean? But that little baby, you see me riding around and posting it on the outside entity. I'm proud. Why not me? Why not me? I'm happy as a motherfucker. Why not me? When they said they couldn't extract my sperm from me because they were scared that I was going to give my wife the virus, I still was caught up in the why me. And she said, Polo, why not you? Why not you? And we put a lot of work into what we had. Check it. My son, right, Tiberius, right, he is he's French Canadian, Brazilian, and Portuguese, right? Wow. Motherfucker, I'm Puerto Rican. But I'm telling you what God could do for you when you get out the why me and accept what God already has for you. I had to sit home and like sit home and say, God, is this what you want? It's my son. But he was made through in vitro. He was a donor. I didn't have nothing to do with my wife having a kid. It was a donor. You know why I could share this with y'all? Because y'all my motherfucking family. He's a donor. The hit is, that ain't the father that makes the baby, that's the father. It's the father that raises the baby, that's the father. So in closing, people say, God damn, he looked like you. I say, yeah, I'm the motherfucker breastfeeding him, know what I'm saying? Listen, I'm on it. Listen, there's some more gifts that are gonna come, right? But I gotta be in position to receive it. I understand that my God ain't a punishing God. He ain't a testing God. Check it out. My God don't even say no. He says, not now. So listen, if I didn't help anybody, I helped myself. I am so grateful to be clean, and I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful that I had met Ray. If you keep coming, you too could find the gift that we all found. You know what that is? Freedom from active addiction. You know what I'm saying? Thanks for letting me see it.